listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. Hello everyone, welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. And apparently everyone's drinking but me.
Is yours alcoholic, Mike?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, but you're imbibing liquid.
Although they do come in like the shape of a 40.
That's the sad part. They do. They're in a 4 Loko can.
Yeah.
That's Mike Dineen.
Hello everyone.
And
I'm not drinking 4 Loko.
He's drinking Arizona Sweet Tea.
I am.
Sponsor, maybe?
You know,
I wish.
Am I apparently sponsoring the show tonight?
That would be
my sultry
awesome.
Voice brought to you in part by sugary ass tea.
I think that's the actual flavor. If you look at it, it's sugar ass.
Artificial flavor.
Sugar ass. It's full of sugar. Up your ass.
Why'd you have to go that route?
I don't know.
Anyway.
The homeless dude of the golden voice gets all this shit.
But he's not talking about shoving things in your ass.
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, we have also got Ashley Hay.
Hello.
And that's it.
We have
not only are we short Courtney, which we've just come to expect.
Right.
Because he's a loser. But Jeff is gone as well.
And we've lost them to basketball.
I know.
Them both.
Which is like the stupidest sport ever.
It's probably one of my least favorite.
It was invented by Canadians.
No, it was invented by Americans.
No.
I want somebody to Google this. I want to.
Yeah, you have a computer. Google it.
I could.
I want to research off.
But I'm also recording off this computer, I don't want to mess up the recording.
You know, we're going to get like tweets being like, "Excuse me, he was from New Jersey."
No, it was a physician in Ontario, I believe.
Thought it was for like it was invented for women, though, wasn't it?
No.
I think you both are just making shit up.
No. No.
But
I'm pretty sure dogs did.
Whale's vagina.
We'll have to look this up later, because despite the fact we have very few people on the show, we have a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have a brand new game. It's one of the very few times we have a game that's like brand new to review. We'll be looking sort of at Breach toward the end of the show, and also a giveaway as well. So stay tuned for that. But first, we have an update on a story we did last week.
I feel like we need like the update music.
We do. I'm not going to do my yeah, because apparently I turned into a retarded T-Rex when I did that last week. So
as opposed to
an intellectual T-Rex. But no, we talked about the World of StarCraft mod, which was a mod for StarCraft 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it incorporated a lot of the kind of style of World of Warcraft. So it's kind of a no-brainer name. And first, the story started as this guy, this modder, got a cease and desist letter from Activision, which turned out not to be true.
Mm.
It was actually, they took down a video that he had done of the mod from YouTube.
Right.
And which is less shady, but still kind of annoying. And he was looking for some explanation. And Blizzard actually released a statement this is Ryan Winzen, the guy who actually created the mod, said the deputy general counsel from Activision contacted me last night to discuss the details of the World of StarCraft project. We talked for a while, and apparently some people from Blizzard were concerned I was developing the game somehow outside of WoW. The name, as expected, is also an issue. So Winzen said that he's not trying to get Blizzard to allow either StarCraft Universe, which is already being used by another project, or StarCraft Chronicles. Basically, what it came down to, Blizzard released a statement that said, we took down the video because we thought that the name would confuse people, basically.
Oh.
I don't know. Is it War? Is it Star? I don't know what's going on.
Well,
I would get confused. To me, if I saw a Torrent Hunter, I would think that was involving space.
Well, no, it was more is Blizzard developing a World of StarCraft? Like, that was what their art and contention was, is that, you know, we don't want to, you know, put forth, you know, it was kind of rumor control, and also I think a little bit of just kind of protecting their brand. But the silver lining to this is they have invited Winzen to Blizzard to talk to them about, okay, what do we want to do here? And it sounds like they're very open to doing something. It's just they want to figure out all the legalness so that everyone's kind of happy. And even better, Valve, who is will be putting out Defense of the Ancients 2, which is a full-fledged game based on a very famous Warcraft 3 mod. And then they decided, it was an old mod. It got super huge popular, and then now they're making a whole separate game of it. Mm-hmm. And Valve apparently has offered this guy a job to work on it.
Nice.
Well, I guess they haven't officially offered him the job, but let's see if I can find it here. Riot design director, Riot Games is the company that's doing the stuff for Valve. So director Tom Cadwell confirmed that the offer had been extended, and that they're basically like, yeah, come to work for us. He says, when I see a modder with a lot of drive that has done something cool, I tend to contact them. I shot him an email recently asking if he was interested in exploring an opportunity here. As to what comes of that, who knows? That depends on the mutual fit and his own goals. So
I guess he'd have to kind of see what happens with Activision first, you know?
Well,
because who knows? I mean, best case scenario, this becomes something, and Activision's like, all right, kid, you're a product of, you know, on it or something.
Yeah,
who knows? It's the best case scenario.
Yeah, in the realm of game, you know, developing, being fought over between Activision Blizzard and Valve is a kind of a good place to be.
Yeah,
it's kind of,
how do we get that game?
Yeah. We have to be good at something, and we have to have drive.
We can't just wear.
I have none of that.
We can't just wear bikinis and strut our stuff.
No,
you just end up in a dead or alive game then.
And that's mostly me, because of the bus line.
It's really. True.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways,
well, wow, I'm glad it's kind of a happy ending.
Yeah, and Blizzard, you know, I think has a good point where they basically, we didn't want to confuse anyone, and you know what, you can interpret it as kind of a dick move or not, but they're entirely legally allowed to do what they did. So.
Well, their name is copyrighted. I mean, they have.
Yeah.
That's, if it was mostly just the name, then all right, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, sounding more like it was 70% of the issue right there if you'd just called it, you know, StarCraft MMO or some stupid,
yeah,
you know,
something
that didn't relate to World of StarCraft.
Yeah,
so blatant that
the craft of MMOs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would just think the craft, like the movie, an MMO of the craft of movie.
I love the craft.
That was my first rated R movie. I snuck into the theater.
Wow.
Good times.
That movie so did not need to be rated R.
No, not at all.
No one. Now,
but when
and
I was 14, it did.
It had four of arguably the hottest female actors of the 90s. None of them got naked, and yet rated R.
Yeah, it wasn't even that scary. There wasn't even a lot of swearing. There wasn't any nudity.
I would assume the whole witchcraft thing might have had something to do with that.
Back it must
when
have.
We were probably,
even,
but
back would, when we were even more paranoid about witchcraft, now we're like, oh my god, Harry Potter.
It would be like PG-13 today.
Oh, easily. So when you think of Mike, if you're like me, you think of special needs children. And these next two stories are related to that.
How do you think, you just randomly think?
Don't question.
You just think of.
Just don't question. But Mike's got, I guess, one not quite uplifting story, but one very uplifting story.
I do.
So are we starting with the non?
We're starting bad.
We're starting with the negative, of course, because that's what I do, is I bring the bad here. So recently, in the fair city of Seattle, where Microsoft resides their corporate castles at, there was a story out of that city that a young 11-year-old boy who has autism had got his Xbox Live account labeled as a cheater, because apparently Microsoft thought he was too damn good at his game, so he clearly must be cheating. And apparently there's some outrage from the mother about this, because apparently this is, you know, this is like his big outlet with you know, being able to play games. You know, apparently this kid masters games in about 3 to 4 days, which
which depending on the game is, you know,
it's
not that impressive, I guess.
No, but I suppose at 11, I mean, it depends on the game too.
I suppose, yeah.
That's basically, I don't want to play this kid in Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, no!
I'm never gonna master. And apparently they've been calling Microsoft a couple times and be like, hey, it's not that this kid is, you know, cheating. He's just kind of like, you know, I don't know, really good at games.
I mean, like the Daniel-san of gaming.
Yeah, you know, in a way. So
see, but the thing is, Daniel-san sucked.
At first, he's
like the wizard.
But he got better. I don't know. I've never seen Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Wow. Clearly.
Okay, he's like the three ninjas.
No, he's like the wizard. The wizard was an autistic kid who was good at video games. There's no better metaphor.
I was going to say Rain Man, but that's probably...
That's not bad either.
Yeah.
I'm an excellent driver. Okay, question. Wizard, was that with the Fred Savage?
Yes.
Yes.
The one and only Fred Savage.
And a
young Jenny Lewis.
Who's now like... isn't Fred Savage... Or no, maybe I'm thinking somebody else who's like uber crazy religious now.
No, it's Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, of course it's Kirk Cameron. That guy's a weirdo.
Yeah.
He's always been weird. So, even in Growing Pains, I thought there was something wrong with that guy.
Sister was hot, though.
Well, yeah. I'd not seen The Wizard either.
Hmm. Yeah.
He was autistic in that movie?
The Wizard?
Yeah.
No, Fred Savage wasn't. His brother was.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
God, have you not seen any good movies? You haven't seen Karate Kid? You haven't
seen
The Wizard?
I've seen The Navigator. That was a good one.
Flight of the Navigator?
Yeah, Flight of the Navigator.
Anyway, so back to video games now that we've stopped doing the movie show here for a moment.
Don't judge my childhood. It was amazing.
Apparently not. You sounded just like Seth Green there for a second, too.
I did?
You sounded like Seth Green doing the fat kid voice.
Almost like Chris.
Yeah, very, very Chris-like. Chris. Yeah, very Chris-like.
I did ask him if I could be a voice on there, and that's probably why he didn't let me, because my voice is so much like his.
Clearly.
He was threatened.
He was.
He was. Anyway, Mike.
So
autistic kids. Defend or defend? Or no. Anyway.
No. I think it's kind of bogus in here. It sounds like from the reading in the story bit, the mother has made many calls to Microsoft, be like, "What the hell? It's not that my kid's a cheater. He's just crazy good. Because when you're autistic, you focus on one thing. It's all like, oh my god, I've solved the Rubik's Cube in 2 seconds type thing." I guess I don't understand why Microsoft won't just be like, okay, I guess we can take the cheater tag off.
If I may.
Yeah, well, and let's hear you and your cold black heart
talk
about this poor child and his love for video
games.
No,
I got
evil bastard, let's hear you speak.
First off.
Usually I'm the evil bastard in this show.
First off, autism is a form of cheating. No, I'm kidding.
whoa.
Wow, that's terrible.
So our three listeners have now stopped.
Let me play a bit of devil's advocate here. Imagine you are Microsoft customer service / cheater patrol. Let's just pretend for a second. And you find someone who is cheating, or who you feel is cheating.
Ashley.
Let's say Ashley, for example. And their excuse... is that
Ashley's autistic?
Is that they're socially awkward, that their only outlet is video games, and that they have the ability to focus on a level that most people can't, and are able to master games quickly. Doesn't that sound like a good percentage of the mouth breathers
like
you hear on Xbox Live? No, I suck at everything, so that counts that out.
Except this kid's autistic.
No,
he's not a freaking mouth breather asshole who's being raised by his video games.
I understand that, and
I'm sure this kid isn't running around on Call of Duty calling everybody a fag all the time too.
I'm sure that I'm not saying that the subsequent actions that they had, where she's gone to them and said, "Hey, there's this."
I mean,
there's
what does she need,
need
to like send him a medical note? Be like, "Hey, dickwad, the kid's autistic. Here's proof. Don't be a dick."
Well, no, I think what Evan is saying is. Their actions at first were justified.
Now, I understand that, but subsequently, now that it's been like, and now this has gotten to the media, now it's just like, now Microsoft, you look like a jerk.
Well, now they have to, but you know what, though? Honestly, from the perspective of Microsoft on this, I can almost guarantee you that there are plenty of mothers out there that are willing to say, yes, my kid has such and such a medical thing, therefore it excuses, you know, whatever bad behavior. Hold on. Therefore it excuses this. So I can understand them taking a little bit of precaution and erring on the side of, no, he's probably cheating. You know, because I'm sure they hear that hundreds of times a day, that I need that. I mean, remember when the whole Sony, when the guy that got banned off of PSN, and one of his arguments when he sued them was that this is my only social outlet.
Okay, but the difference here is there's no lawsuit. All she wants is the cheater tag and his achievements.
No, done. Yeah.
Right, but
it's not like...
But they can't just take everybody at their word, Mike. No. I mean, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. If it seems like he's cheating, not saying that he is, what? I mean, you can't just take somebody at their word all the time. They don't know this lady. They don't know. She could be fucking crazy.
She could be.
But you're right. Now that it has gotten to the media, now that you can clearly see that this kid is autistic, because the link to this has a video, because it was like a local Fox station,
right.
I think, did the story. I mean, it's fairly obvious, and I can't imagine they wouldn't reverse it at this point.
Right.
You know, but I guess to me, it makes sense why they would do the things
that
they did.
And I completely, you know, I'm not trying to say that, oh, well, you clearly, Microsoft, should know the mental condition of every player on there.
Bill Gates hates autism.
Because believe me, if they knew the mental condition of every person on there, 90% of everybody who plays Call of Duty would be banned in
a second. Any game, really.
I mean... Even though it's gotten to the media, it's really the best way to get things done or to convince people. I mean, it sucks that it took that long to get there, but if I were in the person's position, I'd just be like, you guys, mom number 533 says her kid has autism.
Yeah. You know, autism or Asperger's or something like that.
The big difference to me here is that she's not trying to get... You know, buttloads of money. Microsoft.
Well,
she just wants the kid to have his achievements.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't want.
This isn't like the dickwad with Sony, who's like, I'm suing everybody.
I'm suing the guy
from what freaking band was it he was trying to?
Oh God, I don't remember.
Was it Depeche Mode?
Yes,
if I remember right?
You're right. Yes. You're right. It was. Depeche Mode. Yeah,
it's like really.
When
I go to trial, I'm using Bono from U2 as a character witness.
Oh my God,
that's when you're just subpoenaing people to meet him.
I'm only gonna subpoena Bono so I can smack him in the face with a nine-inch dildo.
I'm also subpoenaing Oprah because apparently she just, you know,
you just don't like her.
She makes magic happen. I think she is a wizard.
So if I just subpoena Oprah, she'd be like, "Here's a connect, bam, yeah. Connect." But
I want a Ferrari.
Okay, and I mean, I don't think anyone's thinking that the mom is trying to do anything, and to her credit, she's not, you know, trying to sue or anything like that.
No,
I mean,
she just wants,
you know, that's fine.
Yeah,
but if I was, and I completely agree with you, Ash, where I think the way to go was to go, you know, after one or two tries, just go right to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And if for no other reason than A, it's certainly a good way to get shit done quick.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And secondly, as a parent of a disabled kid. Whatever term you want to use. I think disabled is perfectly fine, but, you know, whatever. We can quibble over terminology later. I would want there to be a bigger discussion of incorporating disabled people into video games. And that's actually where the next story is going, too. Like, if I was a disabled gamer, and
right.
I know there's sites out there for, I think, disabledgamer.com actually,
yes.
is such a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I would totally use things like this and bring attention to this.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's, you know, technology has a great way of making disabled, you know, it be it blind, deaf, whatever. It technology has opened so many doors for people.
Mm-hmm.
And gaming is obviously hugely in technology, but it's also hugely pop culture, and it's a good way for people to guess feel normal. You know, when I was doing special ed, not as a student. So I'll just cut your joke off right there. but back when I was an aide for special ed, we had kids that was how they could calm down. That was how they'd communicate. They'd do it through video games. And you know, as a mom, I totally would go right to the media just because it would start the maybe not a national conversation, but just something.
But something in the gaming world where I think the talk of disability gamers has been it has been more and more relevant, but it seems like it still needs more light shone on it. Mm-hmm. And I just think, especially for people with Asperger's and autism, it's better for them to be able to kill somebody in a game than get violent in person. And just live out something.
Speaking
different.
Of someone who is beaten up by a 250-pound 9-year-old with severe autism, yes, we don't want them violent.
No.
But anyway, no, and we do have that other story.
And that goes for me in general. I mean, it's good that I kill people in video games versus in real life.
That's true.
But yeah, so we have another story, though, to about disabled gamers that is actually uplifting. So MLB The Show 11, which is coming out on March 8th, which is done by the San Diego team at Sony, which is probably arguably, to me, should have been Game of the Year, or a Sports Game of the Year, MLB The Show 10. But
and
that's because I think baseball's a real sport and basketball isn't.
I remember a lot of people saying if NBA 2K11 hadn't come out,
MLB
would have been a very strong runner.
It's so fucking amazing of a game, but it's getting even better because there is a game mode being put into it dubbed the Association for Disabled Virtual Athletes mode. What it is basically is a single button handles all the at-bat swings and the ball, you know, throwing of the ball, pitching, fielding, where the game's AI kind of handles the task of moving the players, you know, to the ball or moving them on base. Obviously, this isn't for people who just suck at this game either, you know, but it's kind of a gesture that has its roots in an individual named Hans Smith, who's a 25-year-old baseball fan of the St. Louis Cardinals, which, I mean, you could have picked a better team, I guess. But, you know.
I've seen the Cardinals. I like them.
I grew up a Cubs fan, so that's why I'm kind of like,
oh, yeah. But, that was your mistake.
Whatever. At least my players didn't have to juice to win World Series, I guess.
No, they just juiced to lose it.
Oh, that's true. So.
And Bazinga.
See, that's why I can be a Vikings fan here is because I grew up a Cubs fan and got so used to being disappointed all the time.
It's true. You do live a disappointed life.
I do. So, yeah. So, basically, he had wrote a letter to them when they were, doing MLB The Show 10, and his virtual likeness is actually inserted into the game as a player you can get in the free agency mode. Which I actually kind of want to go when I go back home tonight. I'm going to go look and try to find him.
So do we know if, like, what is this guy's particular disablement? I mean, obviously he's not in a wheelchair.
No, he is in a wheelchair.
Oh, he is in a wheelchair.
Yeah,
okay.
If you see the picture, he's in a wheelchair.
Oh, I didn't look at the picture.
Yeah, I'm not.
I say obviously because did they put him in the wheelchair in the game?
No.
Okay, that's a valid question.
I think it's a valid question.
Yeah.
They put on Glee, they have the one kid in a wheelchair play football. They just push him, which is a little dumb. But
you know, I'm not 100% sure what condition he has. It doesn't actually say it in this version of the story. But what's really funny is that I'd actually heard about EA has done this similar thing in a lot of their games. This came from when I got Madden 11. I was in the second season kind of dealing in the free agency mode, and there's this Robin Yu that like three teams were battling over, like bidding on to try to get as their quarterback. And I'm like, who is this guy?
So Asian would be in a bidding war for a quarterback. That's just weirdness.
But so apparently,
it
like,
could be Hawaiian. They've got a few Hawaiian players on there.
No, you would be Chinese. So
it's spelled Y-O-U.
Oh, then that's definitely not Japanese.
I have no idea what it is.
That would
work. But it turns to find out that this was a kid who, through like Make-A-Wish Foundation, was added in the game. And the sad part is people in these forums were pissed about this. That they would taint the experience of them getting all the players by putting in this kid.
And to those people, I want to say, you're lucky you were born healthy, or that you get to live to 25. This kid might not.
I just want to say fuck you to
those
people.
Yeah, it's just like, get over it, you know?
It's like, who are you?
It's like, oh my god, so when you get past the first year in franchise mode, guess what? They make up players if you don't import the draft class.
Right.
So, oh my god, is your experience tainted by that, too?
I hope those people never experience joy of any kind.
I wonder if they complain when new Pokemon are added.
I'm sure they're the same caliber.
No, because to me, the franchise modes and all these things, that's Pokemon with people.
Kind of.
It's people Pokemon.
No.
Gotta catch them all, people Pokemon. That's not really how it goes, but...
Fair
enough. Song stylings by Ashley Hay.
Yep.
Nintendo, don't sue us.
That's why I did it a little different. I changed.
Oh, you did like the Happy Birthday song from Futurama?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Can't get in trouble.
Speaking of Nintendo, they were recently talking about achievements, which is something that the Wii is obviously lacking.
Oh, yes.
They were actually talking with Stephen Totillo, I believe this is Totillo, from Kotaku. And Bill Trinan from Nintendo said, "We are not opposed to achievements." Although
we're just opposed to good things.
he did confirm that the 3DS will not have an achievement system. He goes on to say, when they create their games, Nintendo designers don't tell you how to play their game in order to achieve some kind of mythical reward.
It's not a mythical reward. It's points, bitch.
Basically, the way the games are designed is they're designed for you to explore the game yourself and have the sense of discovery. To that end, I think that when you look specifically at games from EAD, this is a note on here, the group long led by Mario and Donkey Kong creator Shigeru Miyamoto, and a lot of other games that Nintendo have developed as well, there are a lot of things you can do in the game that will result in some sort of reward or unsuspected surprise. In my mind, that really encourages the sense of exploration rather than the sense of, if I do that, I'm going to get some sort of artificial point or score that's going to make me feel better than I got this.
But no. It's the whole mentality of my dick's bigger than yours. I can't brag about it. It's like, oh yeah, well, I beat Mario in 4 minutes one time, and then somebody's like, prove it. Mm. It's like, I guess I can't.
No, I think you're absolutely right, because, you know, a lot of those things, you know, and if you look back at all the previous versions of games,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the previous generations, everyone had those games where we said we did such and such a thing, yeah. or we found something cool.
I totally unlocked the nudity in Mortal Kombat, and I got to see Katana's boobs. It was so awesome. Oh my god.
And I'm not even talking about, like, just lying about stuff. I mean, like, you literally found something cool, but it was like, great, all I can do is tell someone.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I see his point, and...
Some of it I agree with, but mostly, no, I want those so-called fake points...
Okay.
Or just the way he worded it, it's like, no, you get something, you get points, and you get to show the world and the other gaming community that, hey, look what I can do.
Exactly. Here's one thing, like, for instance, I will talk about, and it's that article I teased last week. I'm going to bring up part of it then because I'm not done with the article yet. But is that, let's take Wii Fit versus Your Shape Fitness Evolved. Okay. It's really hard, like, anybody who's ever owned an elliptical or a bike at home can attest that it's kind of hard to motivate yourself to work out in it. And when you play Wii Fit, to me, it feels like it's kind of like an elliptical, you know, type thing, where it's just like, okay, I've got really no motivation to do this other than I need to stop looking like a lard ass. I think when you have something where you add achievements into it, where you're doing, like, Your Shape Fitness Evolved, it makes me be like, okay, it's not, like, I don't think of it in the sense of I've got to burn 100 calories, it's I've got to burn a fucking 100 calories so I can get that first damn achievement and then build up so I can keep getting these goddamn achievements. And then, oh, look, I don't look like I eat corn dogs 3 meals a day anymore.
What's wrong with that?
Well, no, I'm just...
Corn dogs are delicious. They even have breakfast corn dogs
I know
now.
That. I keep asking Laurel if we can buy those.
I like the little, like the red rockets at Psycho Susie's, just like the little bite-sized ones.
Yes, they're fantastic.
So there's no stick and you can just pop it on in your mouth. You're like, woo.
Yes.
Now that's the clip of the show right there.
Just pop it on.
Just there's no stick and you can just pop it in your mouth and like woo. I hope Jeff uses that at the end. Anyway,
this is why you have me on the show.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, I mean, so do you get what I'm, you know?
No, exactly. I completely agree. I know Evan does.
I do, and I totally see what they're saying. Like, I totally get the, you know, this is. We're doing this for you guys. We're doing this so that you have this sense of achievement. And that's fine. I totally get that. But there's a whole other level of it being able to show. You know, it's showing off. And it, you know, we can write it off, you know, as the whole, you know, e-peen, you know, all that stuff. But there is a psychological, you know, need to display achievement. You know, it's just the way it works.
Most people don't go hunting just to go hunting anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They're doing it for the trophy buck.
Or for food.
Well,
venison's
yes.
Awesome.
Well, yes. Well, eating is its own kind of success, I guess. but no. And
eating a burger with six patties.
No, I was actually talking with Heather about this not too long ago. We got the new Think Geek catalog today. And
is it true that there is an R2-D2 wood stove in there?
I don't remember seeing it.
I thought I heard about this, and if this exists, I must have it for the new house.
I can't imagine it's a licensed, mass-produced product. It might be someone's custom thing.
Oh, because this needs to happen. Ashley, build this.
What? Yeah, because I'm a great woodworker.
Well, you just... No, it doesn't have to be like a stove made out of wood. It has to be made out of metal.
Because I'm a good welder.
Well, you make
There's flaws in your scheme.
No, just make it happen.
Anyway... But no, they have a scale, like a something you stand on, and it's got. Well, I'm just clarifying, and it's got,
opposed to the one that measures your weed, right?
Well, yeah. Oh, okay. Hey, with Thin Geek, you can never tell, and it's got Wi-Fi. And what it does is it lets you it connects to your computer and it tracks all your weight loss, and I think it does some like body mass.
Does it insult
as well.
You like WeFit kind
no.
of does?
No. And we were talking about this, and I had mentioned that there's another scale out there that actually is it's Wi-Fi. It might even be 3G enabled, but it connects to Twitter and it Twitters your weight.
Oh God!
When you do
no.
it, and under the assumption or under the concept that there's a social pressure to lose weight, and it keeps you on your diet. I mean, they always say,
or it shames you to eat more and gain
well,
more
you know,
weight.
But
you know
that is the flip side of it. But there is this kind of social need, you know, if you start losing weight and there's a public, you know, tracking of that.
Yeah.
In a way, it's like a high score sheet. You know, it's a leaderboard for fat people. Okay. It is. And I think that's what they're missing on that is like, yeah, it's cool that you have all these little hidden things. And I totally understand what they're saying where achievements sculpt how you play the game. Like I'm
oh yeah, you're
I'm
terrible.
Living example of that.
You're terrible.
You know?
You'll just do shit. I've watched you just do mindless shit.
I leapt just, off the Eiffel Tower into a pool.
Yeah, in
for 5 points.
In Saboteur.
Yes.
Just for five measly freaking next.
Yeah, I totally get I get that and I can see why they would consider that a bad thing. You know, that you're forcing.
No,
but
I understand. It's kinda like, you know, it's trying to put, you know, a carrot in front of the donkey, I guess, to get, you know, mentality to get people to play a game versus just letting them play the game. But I don't know, like I said, like it's there has been games that I will keep playing, not necessarily that I'm digging it, it's just I feel like I need to get something out of it, even if it's a couple achievements. Like when I went and got Legends of WrestleMania, when I re-bought it again, was because I was so close to getting about 4 achievements. And I'm like, all right, I just need it. I just need to battle through this game for another freaking hour, and then I'm done with it again.
Well, that's where I'm at with Saboteur. It's on my achievement pile. When I'm watching a movie, I'll do the movie in picture-picture,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll have Saboteur, and then I'm just playing to get, you know, various achievements.
And I think, you know, it for a game developer too, you know, that's this gives people an incentive to keep playing or playing it longer and buying it.
I don't do that, what you guys do, but
it's
because
you have a life.
But I get really mad when Cole gets achievements in a game we're playing. I'm like, really? Because you don't have enough fucking achievement points. I get really mad. And he's like, why are you so mad? I'm like, because I have 7,000 and you have 24,000. I just feel like they should
I
be
have
dispersing.
More points than you.
I will get sure. I do get mad in a game where they give you achievements just to give you an achievement. Like
I don't
no, it's just like look, there's no possible way I can progress farther in the game unless I did said thing that got me an achievement. So why are you rewarding me just for doing what I it's like
to get into a certain point in the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories and methodologies behind achievements.
I don't get a freaking, you know, pie every time I get out of bed in the morning.
Ooh, but that would be nice.
That would be pretty sweet.
Morning pie?
Morning pie. You can top it with your morning corn dog. You know,
that sounds awesome.
I want mine with whipped cream and a corn dog on top, like a cherry, like one of the little ones.
Can I get a pie mixed in with the corn dog in the morning? Can that be a thing?
So what you're saying, moving past your disgusting ideas,
mincemeat pie.
What you're saying is you want achievements for doing things outside the norm.
Well, I mean, I think it's good when you have achievements where it's like, hey, you've progressed on to the next level. Here's an achievement, but like. For instance, in Alan Wake that I'm playing right now, you get an achievement for doing, like, a whole bunch of shit in the beginning of the game that you cannot, basically, you have to do. Like, you can not do this and, I guess, not progress any farther in the game. Or you can do this and, oh, hey, look, there's 10 achievement points for you.
Well, how is that any different than an achievement for you've passed level 1?
I know that's what I was gonna say. There's some flaw in your thinking.
Because you're not even getting to the next level. Like this would be like
you don't feel that the action warrants the points.
Yeah, this would be like getting an achievement for picking up a gun in Call of Duty. Because you're not going to get very far in Call of Duty unless you have a fucking gun.
I'll take it.
Slap fight.
You know?
Or the tomahawk fight.
Oh yeah, or regardless, picking up a weapon. Yeah. You know.
No, I see what you're saying, but you know what? Here's the one really sad thing. I don't even care about the points so much. Like once I broke 10,000, I'm like, you know,
I'm almost there.
I'm sufficient in my geek level. You Screw know, it's you. Like anything after that, I'm cool. I think I'm up to like 12,000 now.
No.
And
shut up.
But you know what the sad thing is? I just like the noise.
I know.
I love the noise. And I think that's the flaw behind PS3 because there really isn't a whole lot of audio feedback. I mean, there's a little, you know, jingle, whatever. But there isn't that ka-tunk. You know, it's just like, yeah. Like,
that used to be my, back when I still would actually use, like, you know, allow my ring to be on my phone. I haven't had a ring on my phone in like 3 years.
Yeah.
But it used to be my noise when I got a text message.
Nice.
Was the Xbox achievement noise.
What I love about Xbox is that it's the same noise when a friend signs on, so I feel like I've accomplished something.
I know, it's a tease.
Well, no, in a weird way it is an achievement because it's like, I have a friend.
It's so funny though, I have more friends on Xbox Live than Cole does, so whenever I sign in, it's like 10 friends online and Cole's like 2. And he's like, why do you have so many more friends?
Because
like,
you're a girl.
Like, a vagina.
Yeah.
Vagina equals friends.
Typically, yes.
Mm. I think that's pretty easy math.
Yeah, very much so. So, Ashley, you still have no stories to talk about, although you do have some games. So we're gonna end the news section of the show.
Well, we have a discussion topic.
We do, which we will get to. But we'll end the news part with Mike. You've got a story here about Russians.
I do.
This was actually my story. Mike stole it.
Do you want it?
Way to go,
no,
Mike.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
She didn't read it. Don't pretend.
No. Okay, so we know that shit happened in Russia recently with terrorism.
That's unfortunate.
And we know that a game called Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 exists.
Whoa, don't date the show too much. People might know when exactly we recorded this when you just say Russia had some terrorism. So, I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, Russia had some terrorism.
I don't think you got it.
That was much funnier in my head.
So. Yeah, that's all right.
If I think, it made me think of the Cold War, I guess.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Anyway, sorry. We've diverged enough from my stupidity here. Go ahead.
So, a state-sponsored Russian news program, as opposed to the non-state-sponsored Russian news...
There are...
I thought Putin, like, basically went KGB on the media there, but...
No, there's still some non...
Yeah. Well, it does its best to tie a recent terrorism attack to the no-Russian level in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I'm not even going to pronounce that airport in Moscow was the scene of a suicide bombing attack this week that killed dozens of people and injured nearly 200, which in American dollars, that amounts to like 3. If you're taking, never mind, that sounded funny in my head. See, now you've made me retarded.
Except that yours was very mean.
No, you see, I think...
Belittled, injured.
I think since we're talking about Russia, we've all gone to the humor level of Yakov Smirnov, so yeah. Everything we say sucks.
Soda Pop Kaczynski?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, so looking to blame it on something, of course, Russia Today goes out of its way to blame Activision and their Modern Warfare 2 for the actions of the terrorists.
What?
Because, and here's the fucked up part. In the Russian version of this game, that level doesn't exist.
Okay.
So it's
but
America's
they don't,
fault.
And the thing is, they haven't figured out what terrorist group has done it yet.
It was Evan. And his terrible humor.
No, I suck at Call of Duty, so I wouldn't have gotten that far.
That's you got so mad that it was like, fine.
Fuck these Russians.
Why don't we... You know, there's a song by Fear that talks about bomb the Russians. Why don't we blame it on
that song?
I'm sure
there's a few songs about bombing the Russians.
Yeah.
We talked about bombing the Russians many times.
It's your fault. I blame you.
Not me. I mean as a nation.
No, it's your fault.
I wasn't even alive. Well, some of it I was.
I still blame you.
Okay. I
helped bring down the Berlin Wall. You, Aiden Abed terrorists.
Ashley, you had something intelligent you were going for there, and then...
I like how they are so quick to blame video games, but yet they actually don't know what terrorist group has done it. Because when I was listening to NPR this yesterday morning, I guess there's two or three groups in Russia that are usually the most common for these type of attacks, but they can't pinpoint it yet. Russia has problems with stuff. Everybody has terrorist attacks now. It
Russia
sucks.
Got 99 problems, but terrorism ain't one.
They'd like to think
oh,
that.
Oh, no, terrorism am one.
Oh.
I just don't... It's just ridiculous.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, it's just... Oh, but you know what, though? It's the same shit that happens here. I mean...
It is.
It's different when it's...
If anything, this should be seen as an avenue toward international, you know, communication. Is that
it? Beats,
both our countries go bug fuck when bad shit happens, and we blame stupid shit.
At least it's better than, I guess, creating a giant squid that appears in everywhere in the world in order to unite the world.
Yes, but who has a giant squid? Nobody. They're really hard to come by.
Well, if you're a super genius like Ozymandias.
They have colossal squids, but the giant squid has not technically been caught in its full capacity size.
At least not alive.
True.
Unless it battles the shark.
In which case, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Do you know that I think it was Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus?
That's what I was referring
to. Yeah, I know. But the tagline for that is no matter who wins, we lose. Okay, fun trivia with that. They stole that tagline from the first Alien versus Predator movie.
Yeah, I know. Because I was going to say, that sounds like an AVP. Yeah.
So it's like, wow, you're stealing a movie. You're stealing a tagline from a terrible movie.
Okay, well, except that movie was better probably than the Octopus.
No. Having seen both and loving Predator the way I do, no.
But it's got Bishop.
It does have Bishop, but... it does not have a Mega Shark.
No.
Or Debbie Gibson.
And I don't think... understand...
Or Lorenzo Lamas.
You know, it should really be a... Oh, and the black chick from Love and Basketball. I don't know her name because she sucks.
What does any of this have to do with Russia?
No. Going back to the
We've
squid,
moved on. We're talking about Mega Sharks.
Yeah,
now.
We're outraged with that comment.
Yes, Russia sucks, now sharks.
The thing about the octopus and the shark is an octopus isn't really that dangerous unless it coils you up and drowns you. They don't have the beak like squid do, so I don't really know how we would lose like a shark. I mean, I'd be a lot more terrified to run into a mega shark as opposed to a giant octopus. A giant squid would be really fucking terrifying because their eyes are as big as my body, but...
Yes.
That was just a bit of my knowledge of Animal Planet.
Well, all right then.
Discussion time?
Yes, I'm trying to load the damn thing. So my phone is being stupid. So we got, as we always do every week on our Twitter account, YagsFPG, and on our Facebook.
Never mind.
Yes, thank you. and then
or the Russian moment.
Or on Facebook at facebook.com/... I believe it's YagsFPG as well. Or just do a search for Yet Another Gaming Show. This week we got a question from one of our good listeners, Denzalo. He actually had a two-part question that my phone is choking on right now. So I'll try to condense and I'll try to remember as much as I can of it. Basically, what he asked, he wanted to know about our feelings about demos, and has a demo ever sold you on a game? Is having a demo a good thing? And just basically, I guess, our opinions of demos and how has it influenced our purchasing decisions.
Good question.
Demos are amazing. I bought Red Dead Redemption because of the demo. Like, I literally went to the store to go pre-order it after playing the demo for like an hour. No. And I very much enjoy the fact that demos exist, because there has been many a game that an advertisement on TV or something a magazine wrote up has said about the game that upon playing the demo, I feel the complete opposite about. There's been a lot. I'm trying to go through the list of games that I was like, oh my god, I'm so excited to play this. I played the demo and I'm like, oh my god, this is the worst thing ever. Who the fuck thought to put this out? I mean, and I think it's a good way to hype a game too. I mean, with this Bulletstorm, everybody's all like, oh my god, this is the shit. I want to play this now. I haven't gotten around to playing Bulletstorm.
Is there a demo out for Bulletstorm?
Yeah, it just came out yesterday, and everybody's drooling over online. Like I feel wet from Twitter saliva. Everybody talking about it.
Are you sure
Twitter
it's saliva?
Twitter spit.
Yeah. I don't think
so. I could be peeing my pants too.
That'd be an awesome like crust math rock band. Twitter spit.
I was thinking semen, but.
Well, of course you were thinking of semen.
Yeah.
Ash, demos?
I'm not huge into demos, mostly because I feel like I make up my mind ahead of time and I don't trust a demo to show me the whole game and its awesomeness. Because I feel like an hour is a good way to see kind of what the general type or the general feel of the game is going to be. But it's not going to give you the overall feel of it. For some games. Some games, yes. You know, shorter games, obviously. But as far as longer games, I would rather just try out the game, borrow it, buy it, and then sell it. I think the only demo... I played the Force Unleashed demo because we didn't have money to buy it, so I just played that for a while. So I think it's at least good practice. For the game, for when you actually play the real game, then you don't have to go through tutorials. Yep.
Today, Junior.
And then I also played the Harry Potter Lego years 1 through 4 on Xbox because I didn't know that was the first Lego game I'd played, and I didn't really know how I was gonna like it, but I really liked it on the Xbox, so then I got it for the DS. Because I heard it was a little bit more interactive on the DS. But I think they're good. I don't think they can hurt anything for the most part. I think it either helps people make up their mind about a game. And if it's not a good demo, then they didn't do their job.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, a demo can definitely hurt a game. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember there's an example. There's a really... I think it was a racing game. It might have been Forza. Where the demo was just... terrible, or it might have been Burnout. It might have been Burnout too.
I was gonna say,
but there was one of the racing car games where the demo was really, really bad, and it was like I think even the company even had to apologize for the demo, and I forget why. I think I don't know if it was like super short. I hate the time demos a lot.
Oh yeah, like basically where it's trial play, where they give you a half hour, and
I remember this was burning my memory. I'm a huge fan of Hulk Ultimate Destruction, a PS2 game made by the guys that ended up doing Prototype. I think it's Rocksteady Games. I might be wrong. And a huge fan of that game. Like, I love that game. I probably put like 40 hours into that game. But this was back when I was at the video store, and we got a demo disc of it. Because it's PS2, that wasn't really the download, so you just had demo discs. It was a 2-minute demo.
Sweet.
It was timed 2-minute demo. Like, why? Like, what can that possibly show you?
Yeah, how is this going to help me watch the game?
Yeah, exactly. And it just, and the really stupid thing is it puts you onto a mission that when you play it in the game, takes 10 minutes to finish. So you can't even finish the mission that is in the demo.
I mean, I guess if there's a bad demo, it almost makes me want to get the game, especially if people are bitching about the demo because... Don't look at me like that.
I'm curious where
because
this is
going. Because look at you're okay. So, I think sometimes if there's a bad demo and a lot of people are bitching about it, because Forza wasn't or Burnout wasn't a bad game. People liked Burnout.
No.
And you liked the Hulk game, even though it was a bad demo. Sometimes
yes.
I think they're not very good representations of what the game is going to be. Like I said, because they're not long enough. It doesn't give you the whole feel and play of what the real game is going to be like.
Well, yes, but at the same time. You know, again, using the Hulk, I didn't play that until I could get it for free for working at the video store. If I was on my own, like if I was just any other place, I would not have bought that game because of that demo. Because it was a bad representation. And I know there's lots of people that will play a demo and because it's bad, even if they'll end up liking the game, because the demo's bad, it gave them a bad, sense of what the game is. You know, there's 100 different ways that a demo can be bad.
And that's the risk you run with anything before a game is released.
I mean, well, yeah.
Same thing with marketing. It's the same you know, with any sort of hype, I guess. To me, a demo seems like another marketing tool. Like, that's pretty much exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
You know? And if you fail at a marketing campaign, nobody's going to buy your damn game. You know, if you totally do an awesome job at it, you know, like, for instance, Dead Space 2. It's not that Dead Space 2 needed to have an awesome ad campaign, but that game's going to go blow through the fucking roof now because everybody's all on this.
But also, it also helps it's probably the only thing that's out right now. I mean, it's right. The only AAA right out right now.
But, I mean, that thing is probably going to vault itself into Game of the Year talk this early into the year already.
Yeah.
Just because everybody's raving about it, and it's because of this very odd marketing campaign. I will attribute to it, but I'm kind of a marketing nerd, though, too.
Well, yeah.
I think most demos just need to be taken with a grain of salt. I think they can hurt a game, but if it seems like it's, if people have been talking about how amazing this game is going to be and the demo comes out and the demo kind of sucks, I'm still going to try out the game because it could just be bad demo. It could just be a poorly put together demo or a bad level of the game that is your least favorite. You know, I think they're good and I'm sure it sells a lot of people, but it doesn't really make up my mind either way.
Mm-hmm. What's really funny about when you say that is, I remember playing the Batman Arkham Asylum demo, and in the demo, it mixes two different levels that you play early on in the game together, and it totally threw me for a loop when I started playing the game. I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't...
Well, okay, that was my point that I was going to bring up. Is that I'm much more apt to play demos for downloadable games because more often than not, it's not so much a demo, it's you get the trial period and then you just unlock the rest of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I hate replaying stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I'm going to have a game like Arkham Asylum, for example, and I go through all the trouble of beating those levels, I don't want to re-beat them just because I bought the game. And I think you're going to have a lot more people more interested in demos, or at least a lot more crazy people like myself and more interested in demos, if you can find a way for the box copy of the game or the disc copy to read your progress in the demo.
Right.
So that, you know, and in Arkham Asylum's case, it doesn't really work because it kind of takes slices throughout the game.
I'll use your example. In the demo for Left 4 Dead 1, you get halfway through the first level, and then it stops.
Yeah.
Because they put a safe room in where there isn't one in the regular game, which again threw me for a loop when I started playing. Because I'm like, wait a minute, level's supposed to be done. No,
silly rabbit.
There's still more shit I gotta go through. God damn it.
That was a good question, though.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think if you can, I agree with you that the demos are primarily being used as a marketing tool.
Oh yeah, this Bulletstorm is gonna sell billions of the demo.
No, Bulletstorm will sell billions because it has the Gears of War 3 beta on it.
Well, there's that too.
You could put Little Big Planet 2 with the Gears of War. You could put the next Persona game, okay, with the Gears of War 3 beta, and it will sell 6 billion copies.
No,
okay.
But there's been a lot of there's been Twitter saliva over Twitter spit over Dead Space 2, there has been a good equal amount of Twitter spit over Bulletstorm beta.
I think we may have accidentally coined a term here.
Or we may have.
We need to see this takes off.
All right.
Twitter spit?
Twitter spit.
Sounds gross.
I don't know. I feel like Twitter spit seems like angry rant, whereas Twitter seems like people are like...
Twitter spit has a good rhythm to it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's good to say. Saliva is too long of a word.
Twitter drool.
Yeah, Twitter spit sounds better.
Huh.
Because again, you're rhyming vowels. It's that short I.
Fair enough.
Twitter piss.
Twitter piss would be the opposite of Twitter spit.
So Twitter piss would be when people are like,
exactly. I like this. I think we may have figured it out.
Twitter spit and Twitter piss.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, I like it.
Duly noted.
I think if you can incorporate demos, either the progress of demos into a game, or if you can work out some awards, like every week or every major game comes out, if you buy it at GameStop, you get an extra gun or an extra character. If you had something where you complete the demo and you get a free, you know, costume,
avatar item or something.
Or even an achievement.
Oh my God. It pisses me off in demos when they're like, you would have unlocked an achievement if you would have had the real game.
Exactly.
I'm like, fuck you, game. I want my achievement.
You're like, I earned it. I won't.
Exactly. I think, you know, and I don't know what the percentage of gamers that actually use demos. I've used very, very few.
My purchases live or die nowadays. Yeah, and demos.
So one out of three live or die by demos.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to see what, you know, if there's been any sort of studies on what that, you know, how that affects it. But yeah. I do know in Game Dev Story it costs you $3 million. Or no, it's demo distribution is $150,000. Which seems cheap for a demo, but, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm playing the light version right now, which, because apparently my bank doesn't want to let me buy things in yen.
Which is weird, because we have the same bank.
I know, and they threw a fit when I tried to buy
it. It's really funny.
We all have the same bank, then.
I need to call them and be like, it's okay. Somebody isn't trying to buy tentacle porn with my account. I'm just trying to buy a game for my phone.
Well, either way, it shouldn't matter.
I feel like for how much we bring up anything from Japan and how much you bring up tentacle porn, you should just own tentacle porn at this point, Mike.
I just assume that's what, like, everybody in Japan has a large extensive collection of tentacle porn.
I don't think there's a lot of tentacle porn. I think there's a lot of hentai and just regular
porn. Maybe it's just the people that I've met who are like into Japanese culture also own a large extent of tentacle porn.
You should get new friends.
Yeah, I do need new friends.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree.
Okay, well, I'm leaving the show then in that case.
I was going to say.
Mission accomplished. High five, Ashley.
Woo!
Because you two own a lot of tentacle porn, right?
No.
Define own. No. We've got games to talk about.
Speaking of.
Woo.
I don't know.
Wait, we're playing a tentacle? One of us playing a tentacle? I don't remember.
Day of
this.
The tentacle.
I was raped in Breach. Does that count? No. Do we want to talk about Breach first? Or do we want to talk
Let's
about
talk
Alan
about Wake? Breach.
Okay. Breach, it's a new game. Just came out today as we record this. It'll be
Wednesday.
It came out on Wednesday.
And Evan was bent over a table like a schoolgirl.
I was. It's a first-person shooter, and it's released by Atomic Games. And
What else do they do?
I don't know. I should know.
Familiar.
They did Close Combat. They did that series. Right. And what it's trying to be is, I guess, a quote-unquote kind of a realistic style shooter where you're the environments are destructible, so if you shoot a rocket at a building, like, you'll blow chunks out of the wall. You know, and so kind of the battlefield is always changing because you got, you know, holes blown in shit and you can't blow up cars, which is a little annoying. But
that's a fun thing to do in like Call of Duty. I know. Is shoot shit at cars.
Yeah,
and
when you know someone's hiding behind it, then
wait for
like,
some
beam.
Idiot to be like, oh, I got time. Boom. No, your car is destroyed.
Exactly.
Use death.
You can blow up buildings, but you can't blow up a car.
As far as I could tell.
Do you have a rocket launcher?
You can get a rocket launcher. And
but you have not acquired this.
I have.
Did you try blowing up a car?
I
how hard did you try?
I guess I really didn't try that hard.
You're bad at first person shooters.
I am. and that's why I'm kind of hesitant to review this, or at least, you know, I want to make a disclaimer about this because I don't really play console first person shooters. And it's kind of interesting because the other game I've been playing a lot of is Deus Ex Invisible War on the PC. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, these are like two almost opposite games. You know, Deus Ex, PC, single player only. There's no multiplayer component. I think it's 2003, so it looks like ass. You know, and even for the time, it didn't look that great. And the mechanics are kind of janky and all that stuff. And yet, I find myself enjoying Deus Ex a lot better than I do Breach. You know, Breach, you know, very realistic multiplayer only, and boy, is it multiplayer because you are literally dropped into a game and like, figure it out for yourself. And like, there's no tutorials. There's very little like on-screen clues as to what you can do.
I'm sad that you reviewed this because this sounds amazing to me right now.
And it's what bothered me about it is that I think it's very newbie unfriendly, and that may be what they're going for, whatever. But I'm just saying that is kind of where I'm coming at it.
You know, that feels like a lot of first-person shooters nowadays.
Yeah, but I think I think there's a little bit of a learning curve, or at least I would hope, where
first-person shooters have a campaign that help you with the tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
So that because this is a multiplayer only, you'd think that they'd at least have some type of tutorial option for you to go through.
Yeah, like did you play Battlefield 1943 at all?
No.
Okay, because it's sounding a little similar to the multiplayer on that.
Okay.
The way you're describing, or basically just like figure it out. Except you get all sorts of weird stuff in that. Like you can get airplanes and tanks.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that I think is there's an issue with this game in that not only is it very newbie unfriendly, like you don't even get grenades. Like you got to earn grenades.
But I want to frag you.
But you should have to earn grenades.
Yeah, but no. I think there's a game, and one of the things that they talk a lot about in the marketing of this game, since it's modern day, so there's a lot of gadgets. So they talk about, you know, sonar detectors where you can see people through walls and all of these other things. It is impossible to get that shit until you're far along. And I think there's like the reward curve where it's like you have to feel like you're progressing a little bit. I think it's just too steep, where you're not getting. Give me something. I don't need like a portable nuke to start. You know, I'm fine with earning good shit, but when all you get is a pistol and whatever weapon you get for your class and that's it, it's like, how are you differentiating yourself from every other first-person shooter out there? Like on paper and in marketing, this game sounds awesome. It's like, oh, I can use all these cool gadgets, and I mean, it's kind of like,
but
you know, the old Splinter Cell games and things like that, where it's like there's all this other shit to do. But it's like it takes so long to get to that point. And meanwhile, you're fighting against people that, you know, because, you know, like every other game nowadays, it's got the leveling system and perks and you unlock shit and all this stuff. And that's fine, and I get that. And I'm certainly not opposed to people earning their stripes. And maybe I had a bad experience because I was doing the pre-release part of it. So, and I did it at the very end because the pre-release was like this last week and I didn't do it till yesterday.
Hmm.
So the only people that had been on there had fairly, you know, significant amount of time pretty much by themselves. So I was, you know, the newbie quotient was very, very small in the community.
Right.
So, and that might be a detriment to it, but more than any of that, it felt slow. And
like, you mean like laggy or?
Well, laggy, but also it just like I ran slowly and the guns felt clunky. It just didn't feel very smooth.
Hmm.
And like that's one thing I'll give like Deus Ex credit to and any PC shooter. And I'll even give it, you know, not just PCs. I mean, we talked a lot about Monday Night Combat, mm-hmm. which I'm a big fan of.
Which is now out on Steam, by the way.
It is out on mm-hmm. Steam. And actually, if you're a big fan of shooters on consoles and PC, Penny Arcade sent an email to one of the guys at Uber Entertainment, and he basically laid out how they have to change the game from PC to console, or from console to PC, and like the things that they do to make console work, and kind of the theories behind it. It's a really cool little article, but I digress.
Did they include, didn't they include him as a character in the game, or they included somebody as a character in the Steam release? I can't remember.
Maybe, I don't know. I haven't looked at the Steam release.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Monday Night Combat felt faster, and it felt not easier, but just a little more friendly, because there was the single player missions. There was a fair amount of here's how you, like, there's like tips and things like that. Like it helps you along. This, there was none of that. Like I didn't even know you could use cover. Like they've got the snap to cover kind of button where you click it and you kind of lean up against whatever it is. I didn't know you could do that.
That's kind of crucial to not get killed right away.
Yeah, a bit. And so it was just, for me, it was, I don't want to say it's a bad experience, but it was not a fun experience. Because it was just I felt like, and I'll be the first to admit, I was probably the one of the worst people to review this game. But it was just, I wanted to get a review out early, and everyone else was busy. So it's like, fine, I'll do it. And I got promptly, you know, screwed. The sad thing is, after a while, because I knew I was just playing with people with pre-release access, I was trying to figure out, like, okay, which one of these people are journalists? Like, I just wanted to, like, I was more, like, hanging
so
out
So you
with
started
the...
to focus on other things.
Well, I was getting just, oh,
How many times were you killed, did you see?
I think my kill loss rate, my kill-death ratio was, like, 20%.
Jeez.
When I finally gave up after about
What was the most
half,
kills you got in a match?
Two. I think my best match was 2-9. So
being killed 9 times is not that bad.
No.
In Call of Duty, I've been killed, like, 20 times in a match.
Oh, I've got that beat.
Well, this is also on a large map with 4 people, yeah. So. It took you a while to get to a point where you would die. So.
That's true.
Yeah, I think my record was in like the 40s for getting killed in a 16-player map.
I did not have fun, and I think my worry with this game, because I can see I've been reading some of the other reviews. And I feel kind of good that some of my complaints are being echoed by people that do know what they're talking about in terms of, like, the slowness and kind of the clankiness. And it is buggy. I mean, we talked about this before the show where I dove for cover and I got stuck in a truck.
Best cover ever forever.
Nobody can fuck with me.
Well, I had my legs sticking out the back, so I was kind of like a weird, like, reverse truck centaur or something like that.
You're like Fred Flintstone.
Somebody
shot you in the leg and you bled out for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But you know, it's I worry that the people are gonna look at the marketing for this, and they're going to think it's a game that it's not. And I think the biggest thing that I come up with is that it is very, very not noob friendly. And, you know, I'm not saying every game has to be.
Right.
You know, but I think that's something people should know. I mean, this is a game for slightly more hardcore first person shooter guy. And the downside of that is I worry that the hardcore, I don't think there's enough here to pull them away from Call of Duty.
Sure.
No.
Right.
No.
You know, so I think it hit that really awkward kind of middle of the road where it's like it's too hard for the newbies, but it's not cool enough for the hardcore.
And it's in the middle of two, you know, it's Call of Duty just came out in November, and you've got all the hype surrounding with Homefront coming out in
March. Yeah.
I had to think about it for a second. I wanted to say May.
Well, and then Call of Duty just put out a map this week too.
And they got another one coming out here soon in February. So it's just like, okay, I could play a AAA first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Or...
And I think it's pricey because it's like $20.
Yeah.
I think it might be $15 on Xbox. I know it's $20 for PC. Yeah. But,
did you play it on PC?
No, I played it on Xbox.
Okay.
So, because again, I wanted to get... Because that's, I think, going to be the primary market for it, is that it's going to be that Xbox crowd. And
right.
I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know... And if I could transfer it to one of you guys to get your opinions on it, I would, but... Unfortunately, they don't let you.
You just have to let us come over and play.
Well, I suppose. Maybe when we're putting the studio together next week.
It's a good idea. We can take turns.
Yeah.
I will lose promptly.
I'm probably the best first-person shooter here.
Yeah. It's probably the only...
I kind of want to play with COD Blops with you just to see how terrible I really am at it.
It's probably the only way I'm going to get any achievements in it, so I'd be happy if one of you guys played
it. What's really funny is I got the Simpsons game. Haven't really played it. The only reason I have as many achievements as I do is my brother came over one time and just started playing it, and I'm like, okay.
Well, we were talking cool. about achievements before, and you brought up something before we started talking about some bullshit, where co-op seems to, like, a lot of games kind of fail on co-op achievements.
Yeah, like it will give if whoever is first person will just give. I know the Lego Batman does this. It will just give the first person player. Excuse me. We'll just give the first person player achievements. That's it. And you're like, but I helped the first person get those achievements. I should get them too.
Yeah.
So it always makes me mad is when me and Laurel play family game night and her little silver account gets achievements that I didn't get.
And you're like,
I'm
but.
Like, fuck you. I'm the one who's. I'm the one who cares. You don't.
Yeah. We like to play regular board games. We played Scrabble on my birthday.
No.
Nice.
We're really lame. We have family game night. We own Monopoly on the PS3.
Nice. we have lots of board games.
We have a ton of board games. And although what's really funny is we tried to play Jenga on the we downloaded the demo for it on there. That is the worst idea ever.
I know.
And then they have Twister on there. I kind of want to see. I'm like, how the fuck do you manage Twister?
Unless it's like a Kinect.
No,
I don't
it's
really
not.
Know.
This was pre-Kinect.
You have to hold your hand on weird configurations.
Yeah, it's like. hold your
ring finger. Why?
Hold your ring finger on.
It's like, how do you know I'm really doing this with my ring finger?
Yeah. No idea.
I don't know. Just it was kind
of. Want to know my the best word I came up with?
Besides Twitter spit.
No, for Scrabble, I put it down. I was like, I don't know if this is how you spell it, but it was like a triple word score. And Cole's like, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's a word. If it's anatomy, it was labia. But that's all I had. That was the only five letters I had left.
And they even let you do that?
Yeah, because we went on to the actual ScrabbleDictionary.com.
Oh, no, you weren't playing Xbox Scrabble. You were playing...
No, we were just playing in person. Oh, but no. But we made sure that we were doing it legit.
Oh, well then.
He gave me Botox because it was my birthday.
Nice.
Botox and labia.
Quick thing about achievements real quick. I've mentioned the my coworker Paul on the show a couple times. Big StarCraft 2 player. But he got an Xbox a couple months ago. And he's got three boys. I think like 7, 5, and 3 or something like that. And so he got the family pack for Xbox Live. Hmm. So his 7 and 5 year old have their own Xbox accounts. I keep asking for the name, but he won't give them to me for some reason.
Aww.
And
he doesn't want you to say mean things to his children.
I'm going to teach his boys so many great words. No.
All right, when somebody shoots you, you say, fuck you, motherfucking...
Apparently, they're big fans of Splosion Man, which I was like, that's awesome.
That is nice. Awesome. I can see a little boy liking that.
Oh, yeah, but as a 7-year-old, I don't think I could have handled Splosion Man. I would have given up. I think it's just too hard. But
well, your gaming experience was a lot different when you were...
You're also terrible at games.
I'm apparently. Also terrible at games. Yeah, there's that, too. But he was talking... We were talking like a week ago or so about having to explain... his oldest son, his name is Jean-Luc. His family's French Canadian, so
I was gonna. He happens to be a big Star Trek fan.
He happens to also be a Star Trek fan, so okay. So. But it was one of those where I think he kind of shot. You know, he floated the name, just as like, this would be kind of cool. Mm. And the fact that his wife is French Canadian, she's like, okay. So, yeah. But anyway,
I've been trying to float James Tiberius to Laurel, and it's not working so well.
I don't think that's gonna work. But anyway, so he was trying to explain to Jean-Luc that. The difference between gamer points and achievement points. Like, he couldn't figure out why he couldn't buy a game because he had X number of achievement points.
But though, like, and I remember we discussed this in the car.
I know, that's what I thought about.
He raises a valid point.
That was what I said. It's like, God damn it, you should be able to. He's absolutely right. Right.
That 5-year-old is a genius.
He's 7, but even
better. That 7-year-old is a genius.
Besides me getting, you know, putting your dicks in the table and get to see who's longer, there is no other purpose for trophies or achievement points.
I'd say if you get to like 10,000, you should at least get like 250 points.
Or something. Give me something for my avatar. I don't know. Be like a user shirt.
I'd be fine with avatar shit. I mean, you don't have to give me anything. Just give me something. Okay, that sounded stupid. Don't have to give me anything of value.
I was waiting for you to figure out what you're gonna say. I'll take a little dragon or
I just got a dragon for my avatar. Because I unlocked him by finishing Deathspank, the first one.
Nice.
You get a big fat dragon.
That's, I want a buckbeak.
No one if wants I a buckbeak.
Everybody wants a buckbeak.
If I wasn't Poe right now, I would have bought the... because that sale's over now. Deathspank and Deathspank 2.
Oh, yeah. I need to pick up the second one.
Oh, yeah. They just had all the EA ones. Now it's all just Rockstar and 2K, but it's all add-ons to games that I don't own anymore.
Well, that's a shame. But... we got one more game to talk about here.
We do.
And it's very important that we talk about this for reasons that will be explained shortly. But exactly. Alan, you've been playing Mike Wake.
you've been playing Dyke Manine.
You've been playing Dyke Manine. You've been playing Alan Wake.
I have been. I played this game, parts of this game before on other people's systems. I played the demo. I really liked it. I just never got around to getting it, as with apparently everybody last year.
Yeah.
Never got around to playing it. And it's a lot of... I really enjoy it. For those of you who are, you know, ready for the premise of it, it's basically you are a... you're a horror novelist.
You're a horror novelist?
Horror.
Is that what you're going to say, Evan?
Horror. Sorry.
Horror.
H-O-R-R-O-R. But apparently you haven't written a book in, like, 2 years, and you can't come up with shit, and you go on this vacation with your wife... You get the keys to the place, but you soon discover that maybe you weren't given the, you know, without breaking the fourth wall, you soon discover that maybe this wasn't the keys to the place that you should have gone. And there's this whole... And you basically... Your wife disappears, and you are trying to find her, but you have blacked out in the process of her missing. And what you start to kind of gather is this is your story.
Okay.
And you are basically a part of your story. So when I explained this to Laurel, she said there was some Johnny Depp movie that this sounds strikingly similar to.
Not Rear Window. It's something window.
Yeah. I remember it wasn't a very good ending.
No. That was not a very good movie.
No, it wasn't.
No.
But it's a really fun
game. Secret Window. That's what it was.
Yeah,
was
Secret Window.
But what's really funny about it is while I am enjoying playing the game, and you'd like it too because you pick up parts of your manuscript, and you can only... And yeah, you get achievements for collecting all of them in the levels and whatnot, but you also can only get certain pages of the manuscripts when you play in harder difficulties.
So, you're making me hot.
I know. So I'm really irritated because I'm playing it on normal and I'm like, oh, I have to unlock Nightmare.
Oh, you got to play through. Oh, you got to unlock.
Yeah,
unlock,
and then you
got
to unlock
it
to go get to those parts when you find these.
See, and I've talked about this before. My love of achievements is not superseded by my hatred
of replaying
stuff,
the same thing.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those games where it's like it's so story driven that sometimes I'm irritated that I have to play a game to get to the next part of the story. Like, I'm enjoying playing the game. It's just sometimes I'm like,
why won't it do it for me?
I get so wrapped up in the story because it's so interesting and it's kind of cool. Like,
it's funny. I have a similar issue with Eternal Sonata, where it's like, let's just go. Come on. Come on. I just want to hear more. And I had the same problem with Xenosaga, actually, too.
Well, except Xenosaga was nothing but a frickin' movie, practically.
Well, I know.
And then you were like, wait, this is a game? What?
I know. And I think the long cutscenes in Xenosaga just made the terrible gameplay all the more annoying. Because it's like, just get back to the cool shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
But no, I mean, it's a lot of fun. What's really... I had made mention of this before we started the show that... For this kind of game, I've never seen this level of product placement. There is...
Do you fight the Doritos monster?
No, you do not. No, this isn't like Doritos Dash or anything like that, but...
The Cheeto?
You fight the Burger King, don't you?
No.
That would be a horror game.
In one of the weapons you have in the game is a flashlight, because you are battling through the darkness. And there
Can you fire a magic missile at it?
No.
Oh, damn.
No.
But laser beams.
But the batteries, and especially the good batteries you get, are Duracell batteries, which you can clearly see when you go towards the batteries that, hey, this is, like, even it's a little tiny, but you can make out that it says Duracell. Like, they make no qualms about it. Now, granted, when you turn on one of the TVs and they have a show that's basically the Twilight Zone, except they can't call it Twilight Zone, but it has the same exact font as the Twilight Zone.
It's the scary door.
No, I don't know what they call it in the game, because I was like, okay, I don't care. I want to go back to killing things. The car you have in the beginning of the game is a Lincoln Navigator, and that's the only car like they mention in it is anything Ford product. Like, if you go up to another car that clearly isn't a Ford product, it's just nothing.
Like we said before the show, it's a Fnord Gennaro.
Yeah. Which is funny because inside of said car is Ford Sync technology, which you can listen to us on Stitcher on, by the way.
Nicely done, sir.
But
we have been product placing our products all over this episode.
And which is, it is powered by Microsoft, which they clearly will display to you in the game as well. And it was kind of funny. Like, I didn't care. It wasn't like, oh, I really need to buy Duracell batteries then.
Alan Wake uses Duracell.
So if I ever need to fight through the darkness, I know Duracell will be on my side.
I wish Alan Wake would do a Duracell commercial now.
That'd be amazing.
But it was kind of baffling to me that it had this level of product placement going through it.
I think we've talked about product placement in games before, but and I don't want to jump down this rabbit hole this late in the show.
Yeah.
But that doesn't bug me. Because
it's
modern day.
It doesn't, but it was just kind of like, oh, okay. Because I mean, with my level of what I play in games, I expect this kind of product placement in sports games. Like, Madden, you can't do shit in the game without it being, blah, corporate-sponsored this. Like, when you have a stat that's sponsored by Old Spice in it. Well,
Swagger!
Yeah. Anyways.
So, yeah. Are you liking it, though?
I'm digging it a lot so far. And, you know, getting back to when I was talking about with the manuscripts, the nice thing about those is it gives you the precursor of what you're expecting to come up to. So it'll kind of gives you a little bit, like it's just a page from the manuscript, and it'll tell you something, like it just out of the blue will be like, here's this, you know, just reads like a manuscript, but that'll be something that you kind of keep a mental note of for later in the game. Like it'll be like, oh, as the birds appeared to the sky, I, you know, last quick moment shine my light at them and they burst, blah 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 blah. And then you're playing the game and 30 minutes later all of a sudden there's this big flock of birds that tries to attack you and you're like, oh, flashlight, this thing's good.
Oh, so you actually have to read.
Well, it reads it for you, so you don't have the, I don't know if the warning is on the game over there of
requires reading.
There is some games that say that now, that like requires a rudimentary or whatever, you know, knowledge of the English language.
It makes sense.
It does not say that at all.
He is a writer, so yeah.
But he reads to you though too, in case you
well, good.
Yeah. Sexy.
So yeah, so digging it.
Does he have a good voice?
He does.
Excellent.
Is it Sean Connery's voice?
Yeah, no, it's no. Probably Nolan North. That's just like, I think he does like 90% of the male voices anymore. Yeah. So
how, is like the combat and camera angles all good?
Yeah, the camera angles are good. You can control the camera angles. They never, I have yet to encounter any problem where it's not pretty much centered. One of the weird things that the game will do, and this is just part of the gameplay, it's not like there's anything wrong with it, is you'll get, so say you'll be progressing along, and all of a sudden it'll do like a mini cutscene because shit starts appearing behind you. You have to quickly turn around and be like, shit, I have to deal with these four guys that are going to, you know,
well, that's kind of cool.
Fuck me up a little bit. So it doesn't just like, it's not linear. It's not, okay, so I've progressed to a certain point, nobody's going to come from behind. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not like, it's not like, oh, and you've just been randomly killed without warning.
That's cool. It sounds like a good game.
Yeah.
And you will have a chance to find out how good it is, because we've got a copy here right in my hot little hands.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be giving a copy of this away. And I think what we decided we're going to do is we want to bolster our iTunes ranking.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to give this out to a random listener that reviews us on iTunes. I think what we can do here, let's set a final contest date here.
And should we
as I try to open the calendar on this computer?
Should we include people that have already?
No, you have to have a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be a new review.
Okay.
But we'll like you if you want anything in review.
Yeah. Let's give until let's say the since we're not going to be recording next week because we're going to be putting in our new studio,
the
$6 million man studio.
That's right. Let's do February 16th.
That works.
So that's about 3 weeks from now. So in between now and then, all you need to do is do an iTunes review of this show. You can do any of the other shows, but that does not make you eligible for the contest. And I'm double checking because Courtney actually had a good idea. You know, he does have them when he's not here.
Right.
To double check Stitcher, because I don't know if you can review stuff on Stitcher or not.
I don't know.
So
we could do like a if they do both, they could get an additional entry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll clarify that. We'll know for sure by the time that this show comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I would say just double check the show notes for the show for all the details. But at the very least, go on iTunes and review us there, and all it takes that, and we'll throw an entry in there, and it's T for teen, so I don't feel bad giving it to kids.
No, and there's no gore, nothing like that going on.
Yes.
So it's
so you have until February 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll remind you.
We will. Yeah, we'll talk about it for a while. So on that note, unless Ashley, you said you've been playing a little bit of Epic Mickey, but
just playing more.
Okay.
It's
more.
It seems like it's getting better. Maybe that's just because I'm getting used to the camera angles, and I've just been stopping and moving the camera for my own convenience. It's still not really the best game, but I feel like I've put enough time into it at this point. I'm just going to keep going.
Apparently you're playing it wrong, according to War Inspector, right?
Well, yes.
Well, he never said they're playing it wrong. It's just his point was always no one's gotten camera right, which having played Enslaved recently, I'm kind of on his side because there are some times when it just I feel like I've – and I don't know if anyone else has had this problem, but every once in a while, like my eyes – and then this is probably some sign of cancer or something like that, but my eyes will just suddenly refocus.
Yeah, no.
So it's just like, twang. It's no, like, whoa, I can't see.
Mine does too. And yeah. It's only happened recently, like in the past 2 years.
I think
years.
I gave it to you. I think I
you
gave
you. You guys have eye cancer.
Yeah, I think I gave you eyeball cancer.
God damn it.
I'm sorry. But no, it, Enslaved, there's a couple of times when it does essentially that, where it's just the whole camera just kind of goes whoosh, and it's like, oh.
The game has cancer.
Neither one of you ever played Futurama on the original Xbox. That single-handedly is the worst.
A lot of those PS2.
Worst freaking camera angles,
A lot of those PS2 third-person games were really shitty cameras. So, I mean, I totally felt for Warren Spector for saying that, because he's exactly right.
He's right to an extent. There's a better way to do camera angles, and there's a shitty way to do camera angles. So there's improvements that can be made.
There's the Shasta camera angles.
There's the Shasta box method.
But so. No, it seems I feel like I'm enjoying it a little bit more. Maybe just because the controls seem a bit more easy for me. But it's Mickey, and it seems like it's going a little bit faster now. So.
Well, excellent.
Yes.
So on that note, we're going to take off here. Like we mentioned, we're going to be gone next week.
So no Courtney next week.
So
for
no
sure.
Courtney next week either. Actually, I think he'll be here, which is really sad.
Keeping the streak alive, ladies and gentlemen.
But we should come back in full effect in 2 weeks. And stay tuned to the website, fansmansgangsters.com. We're going to have some video and some pictures from the new studio.
Evan will leave his pants on.
I promise nothing.
I don't think you should promise that.
I'm worried since we're gonna be assembling stuff. We might have to blur out some plumber's crack. I'm just saying that right now. I'll do what we can to edit around it. It doesn't help. I'm down 16 pounds.
Yay!
So like none of my pants fit, and they barely fit when I was fat.
Get a belt.
I have a belt, and it just don't work.
Get a new belt.
I a new belt.
New belt.
Apparently losing weight makes him lose brain cells.
Wow. Yeah, so I'm losing all the weight is in my skull. So anyway, I just want to quickly thank all you guys for listening, and I also want to thank everyone just again, you know, for probably the 100th time. Thank you guys, those of you that contributed to the studio project. And it's been fun. All of the boxes have started to arrive of
indeed.
The stuff, and it's been very exciting.
It's like
cheese. And tomorrow we load up the TARDIS.
Yep.
For more.
Yep.
Equipment.
We load up the lunchbox on wheels and to pick
it's
off the last
TARDIS.
Week. No.
Get it right.
No.
It is blue. It is a vehicle. It is the TARDIS. I have a Doctor Who sonic screwdriver inside of it. It's the TARDIS.
Uh huh. Anyway, but yeah, it's been super cool, and I really look forward not only to being able to use the new equipment, but to show off the equipment. So I'm very excited. So I do want to thank Mike Dineen for coming on.
Thank you, everyone, again, for listening. And as we mentioned before, you can always check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook, just look us up at Yet Another Gaming Show, or the main feed at Fancy Pants Gangsters. You can check our show out specifically on Twitter at YAGSFPG. Always welcoming questions, comments, answers, concerns, and just drunken ramblings as well.
All right. And also, big thanks to Ashley Hay.
Thank you guys always for listening. Tell your friends. If you would please, if you haven't told them already, tell them again. Shake them maybe a little bit, but not so you can hurt them. Unless you want to hurt them, then hurt them.
But that's your prerogative.
Yeah, that's... We're not encouraging hurt.
Just know that if they suffer brain damage, they can still play MLB The Show 11.
Oh, my. Wow. We were going on such a good note and just ruined it.
He always brings it back Mike style.
Yeah.
Make sure you guys check out the store. We have shirts for sale. We have trading cards that were drawn by Tucker Rosapecki. He's a cool artist.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah. And I went to high school with him, and they're funny. They're... Characters.
They're very cool cards.
Yeah, they're caricatures. And we're also on Tumblr. If you just look up Fancy Pants Gangsters and you don't have Twitter or Facebook, just check out Tumblr. So, yeah. Good job.
Excellent.
Ashley.
Yes, go Ashley.
Yay!
Again, thank you again for all of the listening and all the support that you guys have been doing already and that you continue to support us. is a miracle. So we're ever grateful for that. So thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you not next week, but in 2 weeks.
And fuck Courtney.
And
fuck
Courtney.
I hope those people never experience joy of any kind.